Hello, my beautiful friends. Welcome back to Spiritual Conversation, honest and joyful explorations of ideas to help us align with our true spiritual purpose and live our best lives. I am your host, Jacqueline Claire, Mermaid of the Airwaves. One of these days, I promise to explain to you what that means to me. Here to take your hand and go on some deep dives together. And today, yet again, I'm going to be pulling together a lot of threads that I think are interesting and I hope resonate with you, whether you are in a starting place of like already being in alignment with what I share or whether I kind of maybe expand your thinking a little bit. And as always, I do invite your discussion, you know, so wherever you're listening or watching this, please, you know, feel free to comment your thoughts on this topic or send me a message, however you want to do that. So, first off, I want to address this idea of thinking for oneself. We all have brains, we all have thoughts. I think we all assume we are thinking for ourselves. However, I have become aware in recent years of this idea, like I'm a free thinker, or I think for myself, or having a t-shirt that says think for yourself, or, you know, those sorts of things. And what I have observed, now, first off, stay with me. If you're someone who's like, oh, this sounds boring, I'm going to tune out, or whether you're like, yes, I'm so glad she's finally talking about this, I think I might go a route that you're not expecting with this discussion. So I've noticed that there's something a little sloganistic about this concept. Again, it implies that you're thinking for yourself, whereas other people somehow are not thinking for themselves, and we'll get into that. And also, as with any other slogan that represents a belief, a view, an opinion, if you get a group of people in a room together that say that they think for themselves, you will probably find that they have a lot of opinions in common, right? It's just another grouping. As with any other like political issue or, you know, like social issue, people who have one thing in common tend to also have a whole bunch of other things in common. So I was thinking, like, I was thinking for myself, I promise. I really was. I was reflecting on this and asking, is quote unquote thinking for yourself or quote unquote being a free thinker just another set of ideas that actually are not springing from one's own thoughts and conscience? So in other words, I think often I think for myself means I don't just go along with what the news tells me to think, right? So it's this idea that there are people who just watch the news or movies or whatever it is, and they absorb their opinions from a specific source as opposed to people who form their own opinions. But again, since there is this like group alignment or ideological alignment, whether it's intended or not, I was asking myself, is the slogan of thinking for oneself just a facade? Are these people thinking for themselves just taking their talking points from a different source? Right? You with me? They're saying I think for myself, but they're just getting their talking points from some other sources than the people that they accuse of not thinking for themselves. You with me? And I resolved it. I have all the answers, you guys. I resolved it. So here's what I came up with. I think that we all know what the, I hate using the phrase mainstream because it's so weaponized these days, but we all know what the prevailing opinions and narratives are about issues in the world, about circumstances in the world, about current events. We all know what the prevailing opinions and narratives are because you can't avoid them, because we are very influenced by the news, you know, all the three-letter and four-letter, you know, news agencies and stuff, and newspapers that reflect that and that sort of thing. Like, we're all constantly exposed to that. And I'm going to be getting more into that in a moment. So we all know that. And if your opinions about every issue completely align with what your favorite personalities on like a news network say, like, well, I agree with so-and-so on almost everything, then I think that's something to explore. That's something to stop and ask yourself and be like, well, am I thinking for myself, or do I just trust this person, this network, this journalist, this celebrity, this actor, maybe? I mean, like, literally, like, maybe you just follow Taylor Swift and everything she believes, you believe, right? Because you respect her and you trust her and she's like your sister and your best friend, but super talented and beautiful. And like, why argue with her opinions? So we all know that mainstream prevailing narrative opinion. But we don't just absorb through osmosis other opinions about things. You know, there's been a lot of discussion about like science this last year. But the truth is that scientists disagree. That's the whole point of science. It's a method where things are tested and researched, and people sometimes get different results and they try slightly different tests and they have different theories, and then they test to find out if their theories are right. So there is a difference of opinion there. So it's like we all know the prevailing views. So therefore, to think for yourself, I believe you do have to investigate other viewpoints. I 100% believe this, but what are other opinions on this? Just so I can have as many cards on the deck as possible to then make my own decisions. You with me? So that was my, you know, how I went through this thing of like, is thinking for yourself just grabbing another bag of ideas and saying, these are mine, but I picked them up at, you know, on this website or from this, you know, personality or whatever. You have to investigate the other sides of issues to be able to authentically make your own decision. And there's a couple of ideas in the Baha'i Faith that I want to share with you. And if you watch my Enneagram series or listen to it, this was the quote that I had with the five, the Enneagram type five. And it is that every individual member of humankind is exhorted and commanded to investigate reality for himself. And it is not enough to say, I'm too busy. I'm just going to trust / believe / absorb what most people are, or what this one person, again, journalist, scientist, pop star, whatever it is, thinks or believes, parent, uncle, I mean, whoever, right? We have a spiritual obligation to investigate reality for ourselves. And that doesn't mean that, we have to always be starting 100% from scratch, right? Like, also in the Baha'i faith, we are, supposed to see a doctor when we're sick, and you're supposed to find the very best doctor for your issue, right? So you don't have to, like, just because you're sick, go to medical school and, like, make all your own decisions. You do seek advice from an expert, but you do your due diligence to decide who is the most competent physician, the expert in the field that you need. And don't just, like, say, oh, well, he's got a good looking, white jacket on. That's the one. Like, you have a responsibility to investigate reality for yourself. And the Baha'i writings also say that this is truly a responsibility, like literally something we are responsible for towards God. And the quote is, every man hath been and will continue to be able of himself to appreciate the beauty of God, the glorified. Had he not been endowed with such a capacity, this is in reference to recognizing God, how could he be called to account for his failure? So this quote is saying every individual has the capacity to recognize truth with a capital T. I'm putting it in my own words. We all have the capacity. Otherwise, how could we be held responsible for doing it or not doing it? And it goes on to say, if it kind of has this, like, sort of judgment day scenario, in the day when all the peoples of the earth be gathered together, and if any man, while standing in the presence of God, say, inasmuch as all men have erred, and none hath been found willing to turn his face to the truth, I too, following their example, have grievously failed to recognize truth. Right? Okay. So someone's pleading his case, saying, well, no one here followed truth or discovered truth or investigated reality. And I was just doing what they were doing. So I'm not guilty or responsible for this because I was just doing what other people were doing. And it says, such a plea will assuredly be rejected. For the faith of no man can be conditioned on anyone except himself. So we are commanded to investigate reality for ourselves, and no man's faith can be conditioned on anything except himself. And if you say, I was just going along with the crowd, I just did what my peers did, I just did what other people did, it's not enough. It is, if my understanding of this is accurate. And another place that this inspiration came from, full disclosure, I don't watch TV, and I wasn't raised with TV. Because I think my mom was sensitive to these things and subtle things. Like, she didn't like, sitcoms because a lot of the humor she felt came from the children being disrespectful to their parents. And, we have a lot of dads that are, like, sort of buffoons in the generation that I grew up in on TV. So I didn't grow up with TV. I have had television off and on throughout my life and lived in households, where other people had TV. So I'm familiar with the technology. And of course, I have YouTube and I watch selectively different things and that sort of thing. But I wasn't raised with it. I don't like to watch it when I have been in airports or people's homes or whatever. I think it's like a frog boiling because I experience television as an extremely aggressive experience. And whether it's like a procedural TV show, just fun TV show, whatever, I was auditioning for them, you know, when I lived in LA, but they're like, ugh, they're like gross. And like, you know, whether it's a crime show and every other thing, someone's like, you know, I don't even want to say, like horrible things happening. And we're like making dinner and whatever and thinking about these rapists and murderers and terrible things. It's like awful. Or whether it's humor, and I can't believe like how low our humor has gone. Certain humor is canceled and then other humor, usually like the more licentious humor, is accepted. And it's like, oh my God. And then you have advertisements for like all kinds of like invasive, you know, like embarrassing stuff or the pharmaceuticals and products and stuff that are sold. And I like can't believe that in mixed company, we're like talking about this stuff on the TV. And then the news, whatever network, I don't care, it's so aggressive. It is so unkind. It's, and I mean, like I'm so sensitive to it, right? Because I haven't been in the pot boiling, and all this, you know, it's like immediately boiling hot water on some tender part of my arm or something. It's really aggressive and it's really slimy. And if anything, I hope you listen to this and decide like maybe to give yourself a bit of a TV break, you know? And I was really influenced growing up by Clarissa Pincoli's Estes, who's a Jungian, an archetypal analyst, and she's this amazing storyteller, multicultural folklore, and how it ties in with our psychological realities and that sort of thing. And I was really, really influenced by this very like melodious sounding, very like womanly, enveloping, kind of woo-woo sounding storyteller, mentioning in one of her talks that television is literally like a sewage system. And we willingly hook up our homes, our living rooms, our most sacred of spaces with our children and our lovers and our families. And we hook up our home to the sewage system. And you can go and cover your kids' ears right now. I'm going to use a bad word because I think I need to. And this wonderful, elegant, you know, storyteller, I'm listening to this when I'm like 11 or something. And she says, you know, people literally have shit coming into their living rooms that they pay for. They willingly hook up to this system. And I think that is not shy of the truth at all. Eckhart Tolle, in one of his more popular books, A New Earth or The Power of Now, he talks about how television, not only is the content often like violent or sexual, which resonates with our lower energies, you know, our lower chakras, our animal instincts, but that actually like the rays of television put us in something similar to a trance state, makes us susceptible to like our advertising, like, gee, I want a Snicker bar so bad now. So we're vulnerable. But it also like lowers our vibe, literally lowers our vibe. And I was watching a news segment recently on, it was YouTube, right? And I was watching a clip of it. And it was just so over the top to me. And I could clearly see why it's enjoyable. I could see the talent of the talking head and how this person engenders a sense of friendship. Like, we're just having a little chat, you and me, you know? And let's face it, we're all lonely. We're all lonely. And, you know, the pandemic didn't help. So, like, we want our friends, right? We want our, like, hey, it's 6 o'clock, time to watch so-and-so. And this talking head just did such a great job of being like, it's just you and me. And can you believe this craziness? And this person came across as like smarter than you, but like you want her to, oops, sorry, sort of gender. You want this person to like you? You know, like, you know, it was just like your best friend's older sibling who is like smart and shrewd and has the inside scoop. And I'm going to share it with you. And, you know, you're cool. I like you. So I'm going to tell you this stuff. So I could see that and like why you want to tune in. But also I happen to know that what the content was actually inaccurate in spite of how smart the person is. The whole story was actually wrong. And it was so unkind. And these things, they just slapped me. So I just had to talk about it. And I'm going to surprise you maybe a little bit. A lot of my audience is going to be familiar with the series of courses, Baha'i-inspired courses from the Ruhi Institute. And my book is a little bit old, but this is book 5 about training to be an animator or mentor for middle school age youth, for junior youth, tweens, well, early teens. And the whole purpose, as I understand it, of a junior youth group, really a positive peer group, all that stuff, but it's really to help young people learn to read their social reality. So even if, like me, I don't have TV, I can't escape the effects of my culture and pop culture, right? I mean, I guess maybe Mennonites do or something, but most of us, like, we can't hide from the forces of our time, but we can learn to be smart and to read them and to look with a critical eye that is always seeking the spiritual path. What is true? What is right? What aligns with a higher spiritual picture here? So the whole purpose of the animation, the groups, the mentor groups, is to help young people learn to read their social reality. And I wonder how many of us grownups are doing that. Are we taking the time to not constantly be busy, not constantly be looking at our phone, not constantly be playing something on Spotify except my podcast, not constantly having the TV on, to let things settle a little bit and ask questions and pray that your truth-o-meter be in good shape? I've mentioned it before on this podcast. If you want your socks blown off by God, pray to be shown the reality of given situations. Should I accept this job offer? It looks really good. You know, I don't know. God, please show me the reality of this situation. I have found that it's very effective. And you can also do that with the world, you know, like, gosh, half of my family thinks this and half of my family thinks this. God, please show me the reality of the situation. And I brought up book 6 because in the first unit, section 13 is so amazing. It talks about propaganda, literally. And it talks about advertising and how young people are really, really used to sell things to. And how, whether you're an environmentalist, whether you're a good time Charlie, whether you like people to value for your intellect, whether you like glitz and glamour, whatever your vulnerability is or whatever your personality type, even if it's like super like granola, hiking, you know, no makeup, no deodorant, like even if you're like super natural, there's a way to sell you stuff. And whatever, that's fine. I mean, again, I used to be in acting and, you know, commercials, like, we want to sell you stuff. And it's fun to buy things. But it's important to realize that the people on TV do not care about you. The ads, whatever, like, no one has your goodwill at heart. because we live in a materialistic society and everyone's trying to sell you something. So just know that. And again, this book, if you have book six, I recommend looking at that section 13, where it talks about the different ways. Oh, okay, this is a crunchy granola person. We're going to sell them this way. This is a whatever person. We're going to sell them that way. So just want to throw that out there, that what I'm talking about is not, out there. It's right there in a Ruhi book about examining your social reality and knowing that there are forces that want to sell you ideas, products, etc. out there. So takeaways from this episode, we already talked about, like, maybe give yourself a TV break. Do a week-long cleanse. No TV. And how does that feel? You know? How much do you go to something to distract you? Whether it's your phone, your iPad, your TV, your headphones or something, like your computer. And if you think for yourself, and you just happen to have all of your opinions aligning with the prevailing ideas, like you agree with everyone at the Oscars, or you agree with everyone on this network or that network or whatever, you might just want to think, oh, have I even ever like considered other opinions on this topic? Who would be a good person? Like, do you know someone who, you know, a neighbor that you know sees things differently than you? Maybe you should talk to them. Like, open-heartedly, just, you know, find out what they believe. Talk to your cousin who's like always sending you these like links you delete, you know? You're like, oh, this crazy, my crazy cousin. Talk to them. Like, then you can be much more in a place of being like, yeah, I am thinking my own thoughts and forming my own opinions because I intentionally make myself aware of a diversity of views and opinions on this topic, and then I make my own decision, as opposed to being like, well, I like that expert, and so I trust everything that they say. Just make sure. So that's my takeaway. Go call up your conspiracy theory cousin. That's what I want you to do. All right, my friends, I love hearing from you. I opened with that. I'm reiterating it. So if you want to go to jacquelineclaireart.com and contact me, or comment on YouTube, or send a voice memo on Anchor, all of those ways are great ways to get in touch with me. I would love your thoughts on this somewhat rambling, but I think like seed planting episode. Also, if you would like to book an Enneagram one-on-one coaching session with me, I've been so enjoying getting to know you more deeply and helping you liberate some of the aspects of your personality. You know, our personality, in light of the Enneagram, we have amazing gifts to give, and it's important to cherish those and celebrate those. It's also where like our little dent in our wholeness is, you know, where we're really shielding ourselves off from being the fullest channels of God's love and light. And that also means like living with ease and happiness and that sort of thing. And so just being able to like see, oh, this thing that I keep doing that I think is how, you know, I'm going to improve my life, maybe is the very thing that's holding me back. So it really helps to go in based on your Enneagram and talk about that. And I would love to help you out with that. Sessions are as little as 15 minutes, goes up to 2 hours, but we don't need that much time usually. So I have links below if you would like to do coaching with me. All right, my friends, until next time, I wish you the absolute best in playing your unique part in making this world a better place. I'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.